Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Bertarelli Cutlery. Now, I'm best known for two things, spitting red-hot sports takes and legendary culinary skills in the kitchen. I've been going to Bertarelli for all my kitchen tools for years. They have it all, knives, pots, pans, mixers, meat slicers, and all the gadgets and gizmos you could ever imagine. Bring in a set of knives with Bertarelli Cutlery's knife sharpening service, and in 30 minutes, your blades will be better than new. So shoot on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill or shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
I go to bed with a prayer that your son make love to me.
Soon.
Strangers, it seems. And you'll dry all of my tears. And whisper sweet little kisses.
They played this during the second intermission last night? Second intermission.
A hugging and a kissing.
At the SAP Center.
It's an odd setup they have there. When Brian Elliott gets pulled, he doesn't skate to the Blues bench. He has to go past the crowd and then around the back chute.
Yeah, it seemed like Jake Allen was like back in the lunchroom.
Right, yeah.
He's in the little hallway out there.
I'm sure you've been there. Have you been there, Charlie?
I was there for basketball.
I don't recall.
NCAA
that.
Tournament.
Yeah, so was I. When were you there?
For SLU was out there, I believe, either the second or third year they made the tournament recently, like the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was out there for a few Blue Series in Missouri in the tournament in 2002 where they were whittled away from the Final Four. You talk about Ricky Paulding and Kareem Rush and Clarence Gilbert. He liked to shoot the basketball. So anyway, I've been there a lot, but I don't remember goalies having to skate past the crowd. And, of course, there are a lot of badasses in that crowd that lean over and start skating or screaming, as Brian Elliott skates by.
Well, they're tough.
I guess.
There's nothing better. I've done sidelines for some hockey games, and there's nothing better as a sideline reporter.
We get it. You work in TV.
When regional cable, thank you. Mm-hmm. When you get done with your interview and you can't go back through the hallway behind the bench, so you actually have to walk across the ice.
Yeah,
that's fun.
That's a high risk move.
Yeah, there's people watching
and hoping,
and there's a lot of toughies.
A lot of Schadenfreude.
Yeah, there's a lot of toughies.
And then it gets in your head because all you want to do is not slip on the ice, and it almost becomes like a foregone conclusion.
Well, you don't get hired in regional cable unless you have great balance.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
You know that, Charlie.
I didn't know that. Yeah. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live. From the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Charlie Marlowe with you. Doug is in San Jose with the Blues. That's where Kelly Chase is as well, and he's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Brought to you by GFI Digital, but here in the 8 o'clock hour, we will have our Lakeside Roofing exit poll, and we will also have Sergio Momesso, former Blue, and now TSN radio analyst presented by Gateway Sports Emporium. They have 20 big screen TVs there on the landing, seating for over 200 people with multiple TVs and multiple views for you. They have drink specials starting 2 hours before a game and run for 2 hours after the game, half-price drafts and select appetizers. It's all at Gateway Sports Emporium. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. It's a big Blues bar there on the landing. And they are the presenting sponsor, Sergio Momesso, this morning here on the Appliance Discounter phone line. Sergio, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Give us reason for hope, because we're not really seeing much, Sergio.
Yeah, well, listen, the one thing that the only people that could change it are the players on the ice, and it's up to the guys in the room. Obviously, I didn't see the game last night because I was at a golf tournament, and then there was a dinner, so I was kind of peeking every once in a while at a TV screen. But when you're not really sitting down and watching the game, it's really tough to analyze it. But, it's obvious that the San Jose Sharks are a different animal here, where they have both the size and the speed to handle anybody, really. And they're playing at their top of their game. The St. Louis Blues, I've noticed, like, when they play their type of style, their game, their grinding game, their hitting game, that's where they're at their best. And where they have difficulty is when they, you even saw it in the Dallas series, which I was surprised it went seven. I mean, we talked about that series or whoever would win the Chicago St. Louis series would go through Dallas. But Dallas, for you know, with their speed, they actually gave Blues you know, a lot to handle in without Tyler Seguin to boot. So I was a little surprised that that series went so long. So it goes to show that the Blues do have problems when you throw a lot of speed at them.
It was a weird game in that San Jose was held to 16 shots. Blues outshot them 22-16. But
yeah,
but the Sharks dominated the game. They had better scoring chances, and it seemed like even when they were only up 1-0, they were in total control.
Yeah, well, you know, they do control the puck. Obviously, that line with Thornton and Pavelski, and then you got Burns jumping in on the play, and I think Logan Couture is playing as a second line center. He's probably leading the playoffs in scoring. So, you know, they got the size and they got the speed, and they will handle the puck more because they have that. You really got to try to fit really tight in the zone and in front of your net, and then counterattack from there. And the Blues, you know, like they have to play their game, and they have to not play really obviously a fancy game because they can't go back and forth with San Jose. That's not their style. Where they have to clog up the middle of the ice and break up those plays and break up San Jose coming up flying down the ice. I mean, it's easier said than done, obviously. The fact is that they're a team where, you know, they're going to have to play pretty much a perfect game tomorrow. They're going to have to get superb goaltending. And I'm not blaming the goaltending because if you don't score, it doesn't really matter. I travel with Montreal. I do all their games. And when Carey Price wasn't in net, they had trouble scoring goals anyway. And when they would give up more than two or three, they were in trouble. And in this case, you know, the Blues played 2 7-game series. They're probably a little bit tired and coming to the next round, and you get to the next round and you kind of feel your way into the round and see where it goes. Well, right now they can't do that anymore. For me, tomorrow is their game 7. They have to win this game. And everyone has to come up with their best game and their best effort tomorrow. Today's practice, I wouldn't even send the guys on the ice. Huh. There's no use sending people on the ice. If they're tired, give them the day off. The game tomorrow is important, not the practice today. You can do video all you want. You can sit in your hotel room. Let the guys relax. They need time to re-energize their body and, you know, be ready for tomorrow's game. That's exactly what I feel, that they might be a bit tired. And but they have to lift their level tomorrow 100% if they're going to have a chance to get back in the series.
Well, if you're looking for an area where the Blues need to improve, they were out hit 41-21 by the Sharks last night. That surprise you?
Well, that's just showing the speed that they have, and they're controlling the puck, so they're dumping it in, and they're going and they're finishing their checks on St. Louis. And they're keeping up that high tempo. That's the game that they want to play. They're playing their best hockey. Right now, if I look at it, I mean, you see the way Pittsburgh played against Tampa Bay. They turned it up a notch, and the other team hasn't been able to match it. And they have no choice. They're going to have to match it and come up a notch and play their best game tomorrow if they're going to have a chance.
Sergio, you talked about the Blues potentially being tired, and you look at a guy in Brian Elliott who's played so well in the first two rounds, but also in 13 of those 14 games, he played basically the entire game. There was the one game he was pulled after the first period. And again, I'm not blaming Brian Elliott on why the Blues have lost the last couple of games, but in that sense, you have a fresher guy in Jake Allen who's also been a good goaltender, and Ken Hitchcock said he's going to sleep on the decision of who he's going to start in net. Do you think that could be a change just to try to spark something? And also, we've heard a lot of people say that Jake Allen's puck-moving ability could be an asset in this series, just getting the puck out of the zone quicker.
Well, yeah, you guys see the goalies more than I do, so you know what? At the end of the day, if that helps them move the puck quicker to get out of the zone, yeah, maybe. The goalie still has to stop the puck. That's his main job. But after that, if you don't score, if you don't generate offense, it doesn't matter who you have in net. You got to get some offense from your players. So Tarasenko, all those guys that you talk about, Steen, Backes, all your skill forwards that are there that got you to this point. I mean, you don't go two rounds in the playoffs and then, you know, now you're faced a little bit of a challenge. And I truly believe that you play your best hockey when your back is against the wall. I've been down many times, 3-1, and we've come back. I've been on teams that, as I've been in Vancouver, we've come back 3 out of the 4 times. I've been down 3-1.
Really?
But wow. When your back is against the wall and there's no tomorrow, I'm not saying there's no tomorrow after the next game, but, you know, it's pretty much for them. They have to come out with they have to play it like a game 7. So that's what I'm saying. No, all the stats, you get thrown out the window. I really, and everyone has to do their thing. I understand that. Coaches do their meetings and everything, but you've gone this far. You're at the end of May. I mean, you know what you got to do. And their best players have to show up tomorrow because San Jose's best players have showed up.
Absolutely.
Big time. And that's what it comes down to.
Sergio Momesso with us here on the Appliances Counter phone lines, giving us his take on the Blues and the Sharks. The Western Conference Final says tomorrow is essentially the Blues Game 7. The former Blues winger and TSN radio analyst presented by Gateway Sports Emporium with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Sergio, great to hear from you. Thank you for the time this morning, sir.
All right, my friend.
Take it
easy. We'll talk again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Hopefully there is still a long run left here in the Blues. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-880-0808. That's how you can text in. That's how you can call in. And he said tomorrow was essentially the Blues Game 7. He wouldn't even send the guys out on the ice today. I wonder what Ken Hitchcock is doing
out there. He's, you know, they have to make some adjustments. They have to work through some things offensively. I guarantee they'll be on the ice today. Wouldn't you say so?
It might be an optional, though. I could see some of the guys that aren't playing being out there, and some of the guys, like if Reeves is going to play and he hasn't played in a while, he might go out there and skate around. But I could see a lot of the main guys not being out there, and it makes sense.
I get it, but I don't think it'll go that way. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it really matters, though. I mean, it's not like you're going to really work hard the day before a game when you've played every other day for a month.
Well, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Whoa, hold on a second.
We're talking about practice?
What the hell?
Yeah, like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I agree with most of what Sergio said there. I just don't think that necessarily either team going out there in between, if that has a huge impact. You know what I'm saying? In between a game, you're not going to go out there and really grind those guys hard anyway.
I don't mean it like that. I just mean going over perhaps some other things to counter what San Jose is doing. Just have guys set up so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the team at the hotel, they have meetings and things like that. I just think from a physical standpoint, if it really is the fact that the Blues are tired, then it makes total sense to not go out there. You can solve the things by watching video and doing the meetings and not doing it in a physical way.
Bernardelli Cutlery, sponsor here in the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and the sponsor of our Cuts of the Week, which are coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. They are selling fine equipment for the domestic and professional kitchen, all your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, and gizmos from the names you love and trust. Quality products at quality prices. Free local delivery, no minimum order. Register paper, gloves, to-go containers, trash can liners. Bertarelli Cutlery, a wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and much more. They've been doing it for 50 years in St. Louis, and the top restaurants in St. Louis trust Bertarelli Cutlery. It's Bertarelli Cutlery. Go visit them on the Hill. Check out their showroom. Mention us and receive one free knife sharpening with $5 in-store purchase. It is Bertarelli Cutlery, sponsor of the Cuts of the Week. We had a request for Terry Yake from a gentleman whose hockey knowledge I certainly respect. And we, because Seamaster going to Seamaster, have Terry Yake going to join us coming up at 8:30. And he kind of goes into the, at least in my opinion, high-level strategy discussions when he's on. And for those of you who kind of want to hockey nerd out, I'm looking forward to this interview, and I think you would as well, because he'll get into what he's seeing in a way that I think the average fan, and I would certainly include myself in that category, we don't necessarily see these things and what is going on and what, if anything, the Blues can do in order to even this thing up. I mean, the world can feel a hell of a lot different tomorrow night around 10 o'clock. It's just at this point, you know, this has just been horrible so far. Jaden Schwartz was asked what the team needs to do in Game 4. Llewellyn's Pub, fun with audio. Here is what Jaden Schwartz said following last night's loss.
Some good things throughout the game, just didn't do it consistently enough. You know, they're a good team. They're going to spend some time in our zone, too. We've got to find a way to limit that, limit their quality scoring chances, and then when we do get a shift in their end, to build off a little bit more and try to find ways to create a little bit more offense.
Jaden Schwartz. I don't know. I felt like the first 10 minutes they did things consistently well.
Agreed.
Didn't really see anything the rest of the way, though.
I listened to the first half of the first period on the radio as I was coming back from a high school baseball game, actually, SLU and Vianney.
Stop right.
I assume the U-High won?
They did, 6-5.
Of course.
They did. I think it was like their 26th straight district championship, something like that. But I digress.
You get it. You're on television and you cover a lot of sports.
But Chase and Kerber were both saying right off the bat there they were really, you know, happy with the way the Blues were playing and that the Blues were coming out firing in all cylinders. But again, if you don't get a goal and you lose that momentum, but early on they were playing a lot differently than in game two.
It's tough from a fan standpoint when it's a 1-0 lead and it still feels like the other team has it totally in control.
Yeah, what a weird spot, but that's how I feel.
And like we always joke about, a 2-goal lead is the worst lead in hockey. In this series, it seems like a 2-goal lead is insurmountable.
Ring the bell for yourself.
I got it for the cat.
That was good.
Did your dad go to the Vianney game with you, Chuck? That's from the Soulard Snuggler.
Why would my dad go?
They have father-son dances there.
Oh, okay.
It's very hot. It's
very at SLU, so I don't know if that...
Oh, Father Sheridan Stadium?
Sure.
I think that's what it is.
It's a nice stadium. It's got lights and everything.
When you go cover a high school event, because I think you are known for that,
mm-hmm.
Do they make a fuss?
They usually announce me on the... you know, the PA.
What are they really? That's neat.
People come over and ask for autographs and such.
Do you have glossies on you, baby? Glossies?
I have some 8x10s. I usually bring about 50. I don't want to have everyone get one because I still want to have that need. Like, people still want one. That kid that doesn't get one, you know, it kind of creates that buzz.
You don't want to oversaturate.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Now, has any kid come up to you and said, Charlie, you're my hair role model? I want to have hair like
you. You got a nice lid, man.
Nobody really knows who I am, and nobody really says anything.
Okay.
If you want the truth.
Okay.
I just go there, and I shoot a couple innings of baseball, and I go on back home, to the station.
Isn't it the case sometimes when the truth isn't appealing that you doctor up the details a little bit?
Well, yeah. Isn't that what we do on this show?
Yeah.
Like, nothing we really say on this show is true.
Yeah, except for the fact that I did get a Cardinal player 4 RBIs last night.
Who'd you get 4 RBIs for?
Big City. You know what? When I saw the box score, I'm thinking, I wonder if he did Everybody Dance Now, CNC Music Factory, for every at-bat, and now you got to stay with it. What was he, 2-for-4 with 4 ribbies?
And he was double switched out.
Yeah, but still, it's a matchup thing late in the game.
Well, he did play it, and he is going to keep it. Everybody Dance Now, CNC Music Factory. There's RBIs in that music.
Wow, I didn't realize you were responsible for these RBIs.
You're welcome.
That was an odd game, speaking of odd games.
Yeah, damn.
Cardinals up big early, and you think, all right, we're good. And then Waka lets it all go, and the Cardinals come right back.
He answered a 4-run fourth with a 6-run fourth. How you doing?
Matt Carpenter.
6 ribs?
6 steaks.
What do you call it?
I don't say that. Some of the cools do.
It kind of threw my whole theory out. Starting pitching. Last night they didn't get great starting pitching. They had to rely on the old bats.
It's a game-by-game thing. I agree with you. Over the course of a season, or if you want to get going for a month, you got to string a bunch of quality starts together.
That's how you get a winning streak.
In a way, a little bit out of nowhere, this Cardinals team, where for the last 2 years we're like, where's the home runs? And now this team is right at the top of baseball in home runs.
Need starting pitching if they want to... in my opinion, that's going to be the strong suit. That's
I don't
what's
disagree
going to get
them
over the hunt.
But that was not the
over
case
the
last
hunt,
night.
Over the hump?
I think it's hunt.
If they want to be in the hunt and get over the hump.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. So last night, I don't know if you're aware of this, Charlie, I saw you talking about it. So while I was watching the Blues game, we had some fan page drama. The Cat, are you aware of this?
No. How could I be?
Right. Bobby Bestel, who I believe created the first fan page, posted a meme of what wasn't a meme. It was one of those things that's like taken off of, you know, sometimes like your, like, you know.
Is it video?
Aging, you know, relatives may just get a hot political take image sent to them with like, you know, fake stuff written on it.
Gotcha.
Something about Obama.
Usually. Yeah. Okay. Usually. Yeah. I've seen some former Cardinals pass those around Facebook and then just have to go unfollow back to the
something from
back,
either Occupy Democrat
back to the tree stand. Yeah, I mean it's you know high level thought and so we had tried to make things work on the fan page, but I'm not in control because I didn't start it. And the advice I gave is a goal to keep the thing together was don't be a what's the word I'm
a jerk
for. That's a good way to thank you, Charlie. And don't troll. And if you express opinions that aren't popular, it's fine. But don't go out of your way to start crap. And for the most part, the thing had worked and incredibly well for, you know, at this point, almost a couple of years. I guess a year and a half. It had 5,200 members. It's a great part of the show. But it kind of got off the tracks last night. And so
politically, because of a political take.
Because Bobby Bestel posted something that, you know, at that point it was difficult for me to, I had publicly supported and tried to get people to stop bothering him and trolling him. And then when he posted something, yeah, then it's like, how can I stand by this? You know, and I said, Bobby, you know, privately, I said, I think it would be best if you took it down and stopped pouring gasoline on the fire. And that wasn't the approach he wanted to take, and he has every right to do that. But at that point, I thought it was in the best interest for us to create a new fan page, and I'm excited that that's what I'm doing with
what?
The hours and hours of free time
what?
I have. Yeah, so the cat, now there's a new fan page.
What do you call it? It's the new fan page.
TMA fan page.
What was the old one called?
The Morning After fan page.
Oh, I gotcha. See, again, we just talked about the fact where a lot of the stuff on the show is made up kind of just for fun as we're just...
This is actually, unfortunately,
right.
Real.
Well, that's the whole thing is, as I'm listening...
So feel free to join and vacate the old one. Well, Doug really had a problem with a lot of things that he seriously did. Like, seriously did. And that was when people...
We're putting Photoshop
right,
of him
then,
naked.
Right. Or like him getting, you know,
yes.
Things done to him and then putting his head on there. And that was like, he was very serious about it. Like, you know, he doesn't get worked up about much, for real, as you all know. And I think the listeners probably can tell as well. But that was like the only time that I've worked with him since 2000 that I saw him get, you know, legitimately pissed off. And hey, you know what? His viewpoint is, I think, if somebody, you know, obviously this is as loose of a locker room as it's going to get over at this business, but a KMOV, and you got a corporation there, and he's been there for a long time, and if they think he's participating in that, or he's responsible for it, or he's okay with it, you know, it's you guys have to abide by a different world than I do with you know, your television jobs. I completely understand that. So that was his one request, and I think we, for the most part, worked through that. But that's why he wasn't real big on the fan page, that fan page. So I'd like to think that, you know, I'm a big advocate of the open marketplace of ideas. And the open marketplace of ideas is expressing opinions, even if they're opinions that I personally don't agree with. But the open marketplace of ideas does not include trolling, does not defend trolling, and the open marketplace of ideas certainly does not include making up statements and passing them off as fact, whether it be about somebody who is simply a poster on the page or somebody who's a public figure. Either way. And that's what we fell into last night, and so that's why we've created the new page. So for those of you who are on the old page, we will no longer be over there. It is the TMA fan page, and at this moment, I'm proud to add to my resume, Charlie, that I am the sole administrator of the TMA fan page, and I would like to think that could lead to a position on Wall Street. I would think it will.
Let me ask you this.
I would think it will. Maybe an internship.
So does the Morning After fan page still exist, though?
It does.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of people have left.
Yeah, because last night I'm getting all these notifications and it's saying, will you approve so-and-so to the new fan page?
I think somebody else created a fake TMA fan page or something like that. But there's a
this is ridiculous.
Can I say in all sincerity, Tim, that this whole thing is somewhat embarrassing? That you've had to intervene and create a new fan page. Has Bobby Bestel gave you a response to you starting a new fan page? Is he upset with you?
No. He sent me a message around 5 this morning, said, no hard feelings, please. You starting a new page probably for the best. I can get back to having the page being about silliness and shenanigans about the show, and you get your open format. It's a win-win. Once we opened up the discussion, it went downhill for me. Thank you for including this little page as part of the show for so long. I will always be a fan and listen. So, yeah, that's fine. It's cool. It really is for the best. It's just we already had 5,200 members on the first one, and I thought it was going to be a whole thing to create another one, but then it was so damn easy. We already have like 1,500 members on the new one. So, 1,448 members on the new
quick
one.
Quick question, though.
Sure, I'm taking questions. We have Terry Yake in 5 minutes, so I can take five.
It's got to be quick, though.
I got 5 minutes. I have five minutes.
It's a message board for a seldom listened to radio show.
Seldom.
So how does the drama become so high where people are upset?
It's a good question.
Have to start a new.
That's my point.
I
thought
get
it was a joke. My point is all the talk about the fan page the last whatever couple months, I thought most of it was a joke. I didn't think there really was people that were getting mad about this.
Well, the issue was is that posts would be getting deleted.
Who cares?
Well, fair.
No, that's a good question. That is
there have been a lot of good questions in this press conference. And I want to make sure that I make it clear for Bobby, and it's fine. It's his pay. I mean, when it gets down to it, it's his. It's like when somebody's business and I'm not the majority, hey, I got to yield. You know, I can express my opinion, assuming that I have that kind of relationship with my partner. But, you know, if it's somebody's the majority, they have the final say. That's the bottom line. I mean, that's the way it is here at this radio station. I'm not the owner of the station. So in Bobby's case, he was very sensitive to people posting things about religion. That he disagreed with. That's Bobby's priority. It's his page.
And then people would troll him by doing going out of their
way. Well, what their point was, but you're posting pictures of Doug Vaughn getting his ass eaten on the back of a car in Detroit.
Clip that out.
And but yet that's okay, even though Doug has said don't do it. But now you're going to pick and choose on religious things, and that seems to be rather hypocritical. And so that was his prep, but that was his thing, and it's his page. And, you know, some people reason things that way. I am of the opinion that, okay, I don't think it's – I think a big flaw right now for the quote-unquote left is there is a message of tolerance, but yet there isn't tolerance for those who are passionately religious. It's got to cut both ways, man. It's got to work both ways. At least from my standpoint, it does. To each their own. But I'm certainly not religious. But you have to support people's ability to express themselves, even if you disagree with that statement. And that's where I come from. And it's a difficult thing to execute. But that's the way that, from my standpoint, the open marketplace of ideas truly works. And they'll let people decide for themselves what they subscribe to, not censor. And I believe that that can work, and it has worked for the most part on that fan page. That fan page is a great thing. It really is. I love that thing. I truly do, because I appreciate when people put their own names on things as opposed to the standard anonymity that you usually get online. So we've had some really good discussions. It's played a big role in the growth of the show over the last year, too. So I contacted Bobby last week when he was kind of going through a difficult time with people going after him and him deleting posts. And I said, Bobby, I'll give you this amount of money, even though he doesn't own it and there's no revenue coming in, so there's no margin to form some kind of multiple to give a value on the thing. I said, I'll cite the expense as an inside STL marketing expense. Here is this amount of money. And it wasn't like thousands of dollars, but it was a nice amount of money. And he just didn't want to give it up, and that's cool. I respect that. Fine. Just because that way we don't have to create a new one.
Right.
But that is, that's his right. It's his page. He created it. So the only way that we can have our own place is to create the TMA fan page. But there's no hard feelings. He has the right to express himself.
Yeah, sorry. Can I just give advice, financial advice? If anyone ever offers you money for a Facebook page that you created out of nothing, I would take that.
Take it?
I would take the money. If someone wants to give you money for a Facebook page that you created.
JHE approves. Now, let me say this. I haven't been on the fan page.
You don't have a Facebook account.
But I am a man who just recently rediscovered his passion for AM Sports Talk Radio.
Just within the last 24 hours.
I think I'm speaking from a position of authority here. The new fan page should deal with things like Best French Fries and Lydia Moss Bradley.
Agreed.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, think a lot of people would agree with that.
I agree with what you said earlier, Tim, about, you know, when I was on the page originally, there was a lot of interesting takes. The problem is, to me, it was 50-50. It was 50-50, interesting stuff, cool discussions, and being able to interact with the listeners in a fun, lighthearted way, busting balls like we do on this show. But then the other 50% was the stuff about Doug, which is not, it's not even funny. It's just like, it's third grade humor. You know what I'm saying?
I
like
think a lot
Doug's
of that has kind
on,
of gone away. Well, Doug made it clear. And so I think the most of the listeners, I mean, for real, the listenership, when it gets down to it, as dumb as the content is, and I mean, I can't imagine there's a show more moronic than this one in the market. For real.
But in the country.
But when we get together, like the golf tournament last week would be a perfect example of it, it's a really good group of people. And
they're not dumb.
And they're not.
They're smart.
But they kind of get it. You know, it's a satirical thing. It's kind of like Colbert's show, not this mess that he has on CBS, but the thing that was on Comedy Central that was kind of mocking the, you know, hot takes, but of the political world. This is kind of, you know, mocking the hot takes of sports talk radio. And so they get the joke.
And they get we're all cool and very tough.
Oh, my God. We're so cool. And so, you know, the people got it. So they're like, yeah, Doug doesn't want that. It's not like Doug's on the air bitching about stuff all the time. People have heard him on the show for 9 years now. It's his one request. We'll respect it. But for whatever reason, a handful of people really, really wanted to Photoshop Doug's face. I don't understand it. But, you know, to each their own. And if Doug wanted to take legal action, which is what he was seriously talking about doing, then Godspeed. It's none of my business. I don't, you know, I'd love to own Facebook. Unfortunately, I don't. We've put in a bid, you know, $1,500. Hasn't gotten a response yet. I'm excited about hearing from
them. Good
luck. Thank you. But I love the fan page. I love interacting with the listeners. I love getting the feedback of the listeners, you know? So it's the TMA fan page. It's no hard feelings. It's probably in the best interest of everybody anyway for us to have our own thing. And that's what I was doing last night, and I assure you it was a hell of a lot more interesting than whatever the hell the Blues were doing out in San Jose.
Well, my goal now is to start another fan page and try to get all the people over there because I want you to pay money to have that be the official one. Because that's insane to me that you actually offered money blows my mind, and then even more so that the dude didn't take it.
He loves the page that he created.
Well, now it's like it's really not going to be a page, right? Because everybody's going to go to the other one.
Maybe both can coexist. That's the hope and dream. If I ever looked at either one of them.
That is your dream. Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, Tim. So I don't have a lot of time on my hands right now, but I wanted to clarify one thing with you. I was sitting on my couch last night at about 10:30 and looking at the drama that was going down on the fan page, and then I noticed that you announced a new page, and then I noticed that you invited me to the new page. So my question for you is, did you go and invite one by one all the 5,100 members?
No, he just invited you because he was impressed with your posting work. He had mentioned that before we went on the air, Bob.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Just, it seemed like a lot of work.
Thank you. In order to create the page, you had to like invite at least one person. So I had a member sitting right on my left, and that is Anna Marie. And then I see, oh, then I can invite a bunch of people. And so I just started clicking buttons, and I'm like, oh, I've already accomplished the one thing I need to do, which is invite one person. But so maybe like 50 people got invited. It was just the names that popped up.
But you were impressed with Bob.
But Bob, it was Anna Marie
Bob.
And then Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
But last night I got like 15 notifications saying, will you approve so-and-so to
I think
new
I made
page?
You administrator.
Okay. So, I don't want that power.
Yeah, I got no notifications, and I feel good about that.
Terry Yake is with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Very good. We had I had a request from one of our listeners who loves when you're on the show because you get strategically specific if we ask you to do so on what is going on in these games, whether it be for the good or for the bad. So I want to let you know right out of the gate, we want you to go hockey nerd as much as you want for even things that'll go flying over our head, which will probably be everything. But we want to get your take on what we're seeing and why the Blues just look like at this moment they're not in the same class as the San Jose Sharks. So with that established, the disclaimer out there, what are you seeing that's making it look so bad right now for the Blues?
Well, unfortunately, it does not look good, and they're going to have to make some adjustments. Now, they made some lineup adjustments last game, and frankly, I thought the fourth line was pretty effective. So that tells me one quick thing, that they're not able to play with enough energy to match the Sharks. So they're going to have to find a way to get a little more energy and a little more up-tempo. And when we go back to the Tarasenko squabble that we had earlier in the playoffs when he didn't feel like he was getting enough ice time, but Coach Hitchcock was giving him 36 shifts and he was only getting 16 to 17 minutes of ice. That might have to be what the entire team does. Don't forget, this team's played two rounds of seven games, and each one of those rounds has been every other day. So they've been playing every other day at a level of intensity that's easily twice as high as the regular season. There's twice as many hits, and it wears these guys out. I mean, they're tired. I think even Brian Elliott's tired. So if it's me, a couple of things I would do, and this is going to maybe upset the apple cart, I would play Jake Allen next game and basically tell Brian Elliott, you need a rest. I'm going to put in Jake. And if we happen to steal one, then you've got a decision. If we don't, it's Brian Elliott's playoffs. He goes back. He's got to win the last three games, but at least he's going to do it rested. Two, I'm not sure what I'd do with the fourth line. I don't think it matters right now, but I was a proponent of putting Ryan Reeves in, and here's why. The three guys that are beating us right now are Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, and Brent Burns. Really, if you stop them, we have an opportunity to win this series. We talked about it before the game, before the series started, and I've talked about it before each game, and they continue to dominate. They're the three best players on the ice by far for both teams right now. And right now, Brent Burns and Joe Thornton might be the two best players in the playoffs. We have to find a way to stop them. They've talked about 70 hits a lot. They got 70 hits early in the series against Chicago. We're nowhere near that now. So if you can't reach that number, here's the theory. Go out and make sure you get 25 hits on those three guys at least. When they're on the ice, they need to be finished and in their face every single time they touch the puck. Their life has to get miserable. We're not getting enough on them, and we have to wear them out. Don't worry about hitting Tommy Wingles or Patrick Marleau. Let's go out and at least finish the guys that are killing us. And if they can do that, they can get themselves back into the series and hopefully provide a little more offense. There's a couple of bad breaks in there, but the offense is another thing that needs to be repaired a little bit. And that's a little bit more philosophically as far as their style goes, but it's going to come if they can play with a little more energy and keep that tempo up.
And what about the offensive woes that the Blues find themselves? They can't score. How do they fix that?
Yeah, you said that's philosophical. And what capacity would you describe that as philosophical, Terry? I'm interested to hear your answer on that.
Well, so first of all, the thing that made us successful post All-Star game when the team started scoring goals was our ability to move the puck north to south, get behind other teams' defense occasionally, get the odd breakaway, and basically back the other team's defense off so that you can have some room through the neutral zone. San Jose is a very difficult team to do that against because they check so well. They are very committed right now. Both teams are very committed. But we're not getting through the neutral zone with enough speed. The one thing that we were when we didn't score a goal was an east-west hockey team. Team that went up the ice, threw it back to the offside, came up the ice very slow, which is difficult to create any offense when the other team has tremendous tracking. And tracking is the first back checker on the puck, making your life miserable from behind. We're not able to outskate these guys. They're equally as fast. Maybe overall they're a hair faster than us. So when they get tracking, they're catching guys and they're making it difficult. So twofold. One, the shifts need to be a little shorter. And two, we need to get guys in behind, and that puck needs to move, because the puck is the one thing that can move faster than any player that plays the game or ever has. So you have to find ways to get the puck in behind them. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least let's get it in behind them. We did that a little bit last night in the first 5 to 7 minutes, but they did it through chipping. Chipping it in behind and going in on the forecheck. I'd like to see them do it. And occasionally get it where it gets on a guy's stick, and he's got to step on them. That will drop penalties. It will create a little bit of stress. It will back their D off a little bit and make that gap in the neutral zone a little bit better so that we can carry the puck potentially through the neutral zone and create some offense. The last thing with that, and the second goal was a perfect example. We did the traditional, it was a 3-on-2, 3-on-3 almost. Robbie Fabry tried to pass it to Paul Stastny on the off wing. The center line drive, that traditional 1970s hockey doesn't work anymore. They need to support the puck better. Robbie Fabry was out on the island by himself, skating down the left wing. He had really nowhere to go. The only thing he could have done in a scoring opportunity was chip it behind the defenseman as a safe play. He tries to make a play. It gets tipped. It comes down, and next thing you know, Donskoy's scoring in our net because they get the 3-on-2 going the other way as that puck was turned over. There needs to be better support. They've got to stay closer. And when they get in behind the defenseman and get on the forecheck, they support the puck very well. But they still don't do it well enough on the rush. And they're going to have to do it on the rush and create little mini two-on-ones on the outside and create a little confusion for that first back checker and hopefully for the defenseman. And two-on-one somewhere on small ice and hopefully create a step on a guy where you can turn it into a scoring chance. And those are just minor adjustments that you can make. But overall, the energy has to come up slightly, and that may happen with shorter shifts.
And, Terry, you talk about scoring overall. How much do you think of the burden falls on Tarasenko, and a guy who obviously scored 40 goals in the regular season? He had two really big games against Dallas in games 3 and 4. But, you know, one goal in the last six games, and obviously nobody scoring in the San Jose series for the Blues, so I'm not trying to blame just Tarasenko. But anything that San Jose is doing that was different than the Stars and kind of taking him out of his game?
Yeah, well, they're doing what we need to do to Thornton and Pavelski, and they're tracking him, and they're not stopping until he turns. He has to give the puck up, and they're making his life very difficult. So, I see the effort there from Vladdy. I don't have any problems with the way he's playing, but it's going to be extremely difficult for him to score if he doesn't get that close support we just talked about, if he doesn't get guys 5-10 feet from him. So when after him with a back checker, and he's still fronted by a defenseman, which is right in his face, and he sees a guy coming over his shoulder as he comes down the wing. A lot of times it's down the right wing, so he sees a guy over his left shoulder. There's nothing you can do. You end up having to give the puck up. So he needs somebody close. And we still are playing far too much center lane drive, which means the closest guy, the centerman, is taken off and going away from him, trying to draw a defenseman. We're not ready to shoot the puck yet. We're not in a position to score. There's no sense in going to the front of the net until you've got an opportunity to score. The defenseman for the Sharks is not going to generally leave the net and come over and get a three defending players versus two offensive players when you're driving the puck down the wall. He needs help, and he can't do this by himself. And I'm not saying the other guys aren't working. I'm just saying they're not close enough. And I think that goes for everybody. And Vladdy will get a little bit more if you can get closer to him and they can start doing the give and go. This is what's made Stastny and Fabry so successful. And Brouwer being the puck retriever and the create space kind of guy. But Fabry and Stastny understand that short give and go. And more guys need to do what they're doing right now for this team to create a little more offense. And then we do need to get a break. I mean, we obviously, San Jose's goalposts, but we've hit some goalposts at critical times in the last two games that could have changed the momentum
right. And
the whole dynamic of the game and given a little bit of doubt in the San Jose Sharks' mind, a little bit of urgency and a little bit of enthusiasm on the Blues bench. And either one of those games could have gone a different way had one or two of those found the net instead of hitting a goalpost. So, we are not playing as well as they are, but a little puck luck could have changed that as well.
Terry, I don't know if you heard Coach Hitchcock's post-game comments. He did it with tact and he did it with finesse, but he did call out Tarasenko a little bit, saying he has to learn how to fight through what he's facing in this series. I don't know if you heard it, but if you did, what did you make of his comments?
Well, I mean, I think you're obviously looking at your top player to score, but I think you got to look, and I'm going to use Alex Ovechkin as an example. He's been the best scorer in the league for the last 7 or 8 years. Well, since he came in the National Hockey League, he has been, and he hasn't gotten out of the second round. And part of the reason is because playoff times, every team does the same thing to him. They double team him. They put two guys on him if they have to. Life gets very miserable for a star when you get to that level. And if you don't find a way to get him some help, stay close to him, they will be opportunistic when the time arises and they get their chances. But it's very difficult to get chances for those guys. So it's really hard, you know, despite the fact that I would love to see him get opportunities and score a few goals, it's very hard to create chances when you're a star like they are. They know, believe me, the pregame meeting is all about how to deal with and how to stop Vladimir Tarasenko and the top players and what we're going to do. And in particular, when he or a top player like that touches the puck, that we're not letting them off the hook. Unfortunately, I feel like we're letting their top players off the hook far too often. We can be 5 feet away from them, and we're backing off. We're letting them get a little bit extra time and space. You can't leave top players like Tarasenko or like Thornton for the Sharks one-on-one with your defensemen. They don't necessarily beat them one-on-one, but they can buy enough time and space that they can sure make a good play. And both of those guys have the ability to do that. The Sharks aren't letting Tarasenko do it, and we're letting their guys do it a little bit too much. So I think some quick adjustments can be made, and with a little more energy, shortening the shifts, this whole thing can turn around real quickly.
Terry, great stuff, man. This is the kind of analysis. We're getting a lot of positive feedback from the listeners to hear strategic explanation on why we're seeing what we're seeing. And not only did you explain some of the problems, you also provided at least your ideas for solutions. And perhaps we will see those in place. Do you? I realize you said you would start Jake Allen. Obviously, it's not any of our calls. Do you think we will see Jake Allen tomorrow night?
Well, here's the reason. Because when you look at the situation we're in Chicago, and hindsight being 2020, and I looked at it afterwards, when we played Chicago Game 6 in Chicago after losing Game 5 at home, it almost looked like Brian was slightly tired, even though the Game 5 was a late overtime goal. Mm-hmm. I would have, you look at it and you say, if you start Jake Allen in Game 6, you always have Brian to come back rested and fully prepared to go in Game 7. It worked out for us, but I looked at it and thought that might not be a bad philosophy. We're in this situation right now. You start Jake, you're looking to steal one. But more than that, you're actually looking to give Brian this 4 days off and an opportunity for him to feel fully recovered and rested going into game five back here at home. Hopefully, you know, you steal the game, and then you've got a tough decision to make. How did he play? Do we go back to Brian? This is clearly his playoffs. But when you've played 14 games in probably 28 or 29 days, he's probably getting tired. And don't forget, he finished the regular season playing the last 9 games as well. So there's been a lot of hockey for him lately, and maybe a couple extra days off would rejuvenate him and allow him to be a little better. I don't know if they're going to make that move or not. These lineup changes have actually been very positive. Everybody that comes in, because of the way the season went, has played excellent hockey, including Pajarvi last night and Yashkin. I mean, I thought they were a more creative line. The reason I don't mind the changes is because those guys come in and play with a little extra energy, and I think that's what's part of what might be lacking. And hopefully some shorter shifts and maybe a little change does the guys good. But there still has to be some basic fundamental changes in the way we deal with their top players, or else they're going to continue to eat us alive because they're too good to just hope that one-on-one somebody can handle them.
Terry Ake with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines and on short notice, but bringing heat. Terry, we really appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again, hopefully, early next week and with things changing after Game 4.
Always a pleasure, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks. Terry Ake with us here on the radio program on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. I had a specific request from a listener. Said Terry Ake's a guy, when he comes on, he gives you really good X's and O's kind of hockey talk, which isn't necessarily commonplace in St. Louis. And I love that because I'm sitting here, I'm going, what in the hell's going on? You know, I don't know.
But hold on. Is this listener saying that the three of us don't provide enough hardcore?
Yes. Yeah, I can answer that before you finish the question.
Yeah, no.
Is that what they're saying?
X's and O's, we do it very well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then my answer is no.
Yeah.
Because we know the game.
Who better?
Right. I wasn't cut from hockey at St. Louis U High. I was cut from football, basketball, and baseball. So you have to think about that.
And I played roller hockey with my buddies.
Right.
And I once met Mike Bossy.
Yep.
I'm Bossy.
Credentials are pretty good, huh?
Yep.
So that pretty much...
Take that.
Proves it.
314-880-0808. That's how you can get involved. That's how you can text in. That's how you can call on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. We talked about the Wiffle Ball Tournament. It is coming up just a little more than a month. Can't wait. Bud Light presents the third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament. It's Saturday, June 25th at Francis Park, 11 a.m. throughout the day. More than half the teams are already sold out. We have 32 spots, and I think we're at 20 registrants already. So if you want to get in, I would recommend getting in quickly. It's only $150, $37.50 per person. That means we have four people on each team. Equipment's donated by Yellow Bats. It's a round-robin tournament with winners advancing to tournament play. Four players to a team, all hit. Two field, one pitch. It's a $150 registration fee and reserve spot with payment to InsideSTL.com. On Eventbrite, you can go on there right now and register your spot. You really ought to because it's going to sell out, and then there's nothing we can do about it because we have to, for the purpose of time, limit it to 32 teams. We're going to have all kinds of food. That's another part of this that we're doing new this year, and it'll just be a good day, man. Those wiffle ball tournaments are just really fun, so I would recommend it. It is the Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament presented by Bud Light. Kelly Chase going to be with us, presented by GFI Digital. That's coming your way. That's coming your way at 9:15. Yeah, Timber Fake.
The Money Man.
Here you go, Charlie.
Sex Lewis.
Sex Lewis, baby. No, like, I was with my girl. Like, Tony Lee's my new girl. Like, she's the hottest girl in St. Louis. Like, straight up. One of them. But she got kind of like, I mean, guys in PBR, and it was so packed there, but there was at least 12 guys from the show that came up and asked for a picture of me. I go, what?
I love that.
It was,
you know why?
I mean, it was cool.
You know why? Because you're the John Stamos of St. Louis, and you drink sexy coffee, and people...
I do.
People are attracted to that.
They are, but they were attracted to Tony Lee, too. But, like, she didn't understand, like, when she's out with me, it's like, I mean... I didn't know that random guys are coming up to take pictures of me. I'm like, what? This is weird to me, man.
Well, enjoy it. You've earned your place in our social circles.
And I tell everybody, I love Mac, man. I love McCartney. I love Marlo. I love Doug, but the cat's my favorite. He really is.
Well, I've been a staunch supporter of Timber Fake 2.0.
2.0 is the money, man. That's sexy coffee right there.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm pumped about this wiffle ball tournament. Like,
you gonna play
people out? I do. I'm gonna be on somebody's team. So
maybe you and the Plowboy could form a team for the lightest combined weight in the history of a team in athletic competition.
Man, come on, I'm 145, man. Like, you give me on a scale, I'll come to the city. I'm 145.
His punch is heavy.
It is. Ask that Pride Joe. Would you play on a team with Producer Joe?
Yeah, I have no hard feelings with Producer Joe, man. I like the dude. I mean, I didn't like what he said at first, but back then I was Timber Fake, whatever you want to call me. Like,
1.0.
You know? Yeah, like, I had no filter to him, but even after the fight, I went up to him and gave him a hug, and I liked the dude.
Wow, look at that, Charlie.
No hard feelings. I gave Project, let me be on Project Joe's team. That would be the sex show. That would be sexy coffee.
It could be the name of the team.
I have a feeling, though,
the name,
Producer
name of the team
Joe
would be sex
might
Lewis.
Not feel the same way.
Well, I mean, I kind of made him retire, so I did it, but...
That's just my gut.
What is the deal happened with you and... is it Tony Lee?
Yeah, man, she just was really... I'm a South City boy. I live by Sex Park. I call it Francis Park. You know, I'm a South City boy. I'm back in South City. I'm like, she lives in Warren County. It's just really far away. Like, I can't drive intoxicated out there, and, you know, so...
And you have a lifestyle to keep up.
Yeah, and, you know, I got... random guys from the fan page taking pictures of me, 12 of them, and she got a little bit jealous. But the thing is, like, like, you know, Chelsea came in the studio, but I like Tony, man. Like, I moved on to sexier things.
But she got on the fan page and she was furious with you initially, and then about a half hour later, she was announcing that she was coming over to your place.
Well, yeah, that's the way, that's the money man magic. I make the magic happen.
Why do you think it is that women are attracted to you? I couldn't be more confused by it. And I said that, I want to make this clear. I said, I recognize people see me with Anna Marie and they think there's some kind of buyout going on.
Yeah,
so,
payment system.
Right. So I'm curious how you're able to land some of the broads you're landing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give her some more. We're pretty good-looking dudes. I mean, you got to give yourself more credit.
Thank you.
I mean, you do. To me, I'm not no fruit, but like that guy that answered the phone, I do a plow shark. I don't like that Peyton.
Peyton got called out.
I don't like him. Can I fight him?
He's a nice guy. He's just doing his job.
This is like the 2008 vice presidential debate. That wasn't the question. So, how are you able to land these women?
I mean, look at me, man. I'm the sex show. I'm the John Stamos of Seymour.
All right, I guess. I
don't know.
Here's how, in my opinion. I think Timber Fake's a good looking dude. I do. I think, you're skinny, but you're a good looking dude. And he has confidence. He comes on the radio. And I could see him being able to talk a good game to a girl. And, I mean, how old are you? You're a single dude in St. Louis. A lot of guys, you know, they get to be late 20s, early 30s. I mean, there's not a ton of guys out there.
Not really a compliment, Charlie. You basically said he's a pretty good leftover.
I'm saying if you're a dude who's 32 years old and you're going out and you're single, there's a lot of, 25-year-old girls at Ballpark Village.
Exactly. No, Ballpark Village is a spot, though, man. I mean, you trust me. You don't want to be in the scene in St. Louis. Everybody knows how ruddy. It's the biggest small city. Like, that's why, like, going up to Milwaukee and seeing a sexy cat up there, you know? Because, like, there's
sexy
different
cat
bars. There's different girls. Yeah, sexy cat. Like when he saw me, I was wearing a sexy, I don't know, a blue blazer. I got the pictures. But, you know, the cat doesn't have to be. The cat's the real money, man. Like, he gives me a shout-out from the dugout. He's like, what's up? What's up, boy? What's up, Timber Fake? I'm like, what's up, Cat?
You're my boy. I give you a shout out.
I was staying at the same haunted hotel as you. I forgot. Is it the Festive?
Yeah, that's the one that's allegedly haunted, though no one really
has. It is haunted, man.
Yeah, the Fister's out in San Jose covering the Blues. Iggy just texted and said, ask him about ruining our golf tournament championship. You were with Iggy for four holes,
man,
and you cost him.
Oh, well. Sexy Strobe was keeping it sexy, but I might have. Him and Cletus, I might have ruined it. I mean, I almost got kicked off the course for doing donuts after I'd been on the course during the 13 hours of course. I'm acting a little bit crazy.
Perfect.
Understandable.
Sorry, Kenny Strobe.
He said sorry, so it's all good.
He should. That's payback for him being biased in the fight against Joe when he announced it.
So you were not happy with the call of Iggy and Larry Nickel on that?
No.
Fight.
Like I agree with you, McCartan. Proud Joe, maybe I was wearing out in the fifth round, but I won four rounds to one, and Iggy Stroh was so biased.
And
so we're even now, Iggy.
Well, you apologize. See, Timberfake 2.0 apologized.
That's right.
Timberfake 1.0
never
would not have
never
done
it. Nope.
But think about it. We're all growing up. I mean, Timberfake started on the show about the same time I did. Now I was, 25? I don't know how old you were, Timberfake. But
I'm the same age as you, Mario.
Yeah, we grow up. You mature. You don't do the things you do back when you're in your mid-20s.
Yeah. Mellow, yes. But I got to, you know, I brought Chelsea in studio. She was a lovely girl, but, like, I moved on to bigger and better things. Tony Lee's the real deal, Holyfield. She's the number one play baby. She's the play girl.
Playgirl Magazine.
Oh, she's just
Can I make a suggestion, Timber Fake? Because she seems like a lovely woman. I haven't met her, but if she's with you, she's got to be salt of the earth. Now, maybe next time you're out together, even though your fans are going to want to take selfies and stuff with you, maybe just say, hey, guys, I'm with my lady tonight. That would make her feel very special and show that you're sensitive.
I tried doing that, but these guys harassed me. I'm like, go buy me a shot. And some did and some wouldn't. I'm like, well, whatever. Like, you take a picture if you buy me a shot.
That's the cost of doing business.
Yep.
We got Kelly Chase coming up. Any other final thoughts before we go to our final hour? It's the Chase Farm.
Just keep it sexy. Keep it Stamos. Keep it sexy coffee. Keep it Tex Lewis. Keep it sexy everything. I love you guys, man.
Wow. Well, that's a beautiful sentiment going into the weekend.
Very good.
Keep it Stamos.
Me and Tony will be in sometime next week. We'll keep it sexy and live in studio.
She hook up with girls?
Yeah, and you can ask her any questions you want. You know, I think I'm gonna bring Tony to the AVMs instead of Chelsea. Like, Chelsea's old news. Like, I moved on to bigger and better things.
All right, well, keep me posted. It is only 8 months
away. I'll see you guys live in the studio next week. There the money man.
There he is, the money man.
Peace.
Paul Sharkey, you love the money man. You love the money man.
I like Timber Fake.
I absolutely
He's
love him.
He's good for business.
He's made a face turn. Now, it's kind of like a Stone Cold Steve Austin face turn. It's not your 1980s style face turn, but it's a face turn in which the crowd loves to hate him.
But also, his portrayal on the show, although he's close to that in real life, that's not really him. It's also part of the act of the stupidity of this show.
And he's really nice. If you actually, like, sit down and talk to him and kind of break down the layers of Timber Fake.
Peel back the onion.
He's generally a really nice guy and would buy you drinks and would do a lot for you. So I'm a big fan of Timber
Fake. He makes me laugh. I like the whole sexy coffee thing. It does make me
giggle. It's
funny. He's a good man.
Kelly Chase is going to join us coming up at 9:15. That's presented by GFI Digital. It's in the Tease Farms. 9 o'clock hour next on the Ryan Kelly Morning.